Vous êtes sur Art District Radio et c'est l'heure de retrouver Luc Seabright dans Jazz Interview pour une rencontre en anglais avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Hi everybody, this is Luke Seabright and welcome to our jazz interview program. Today I have on the phone with me TK Blue. TK is a jazz saxophonist and educator from New York City. His debut album as leader, Egyptian Oasis, was released in 1981 when TK was living in Paris. Since then, he's released 9 more albums in his name. He's also collaborated throughout his career with many jazz greats, such as Randy Weston, a longtime musical partner and friend of his, and Abdullah Ibrahim, the great South African pianist, to name just a few. His latest album is called Amour. It was released in May of this year, and TK will be presenting it this Saturday at the Sunset Sunside with his quartet. That's the 25th of November at the Sunset, so don't miss out. TK, thanks so much for being here. How's it going?
Oh, it's going fantastic, Luke, and it's great to speak with you today. Currently looking at the sunset in the tiny village of Roquebrune above Monaco, and this village was built in the 10th century with a very ancient castle that was a lookout for invaders coming into this area during that time period.
Awesome.
I'm very, very happy.
What brings you to Roquebrune?
Yeah, well, I had a little time before going to Paris. I hit to Paris on Wednesday, and anytime I come to Europe, I try to make it a point to try to come by here. I have a very close friend of mine, Eileen Pelage, whose family, they have a beautiful house here with the terrace overlooking the Mediterranean, and
wow.
Plus I love the climate, the food. You get great exercise going up and down these steps, you know. So, I mean, the whole thing is fantastic. Also, I want to just add, the first record, my first record as a leader, it was Egyptian Oasis, but it actually came out around 1985.
Oh, okay. 86. I stand corrected.
Yeah, it came out a little bit later.
Okay.
And actually, the current one, Amour, is my 11th CD as a leader.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really very excited about it. And it's a project that reflects a lot of the time period, most of the 80s that I lived in Paris.
Yeah.
And in France in general, because I spent a lot of time in different cities. And in fact, the city where you're calling from, Toulouse, and I pretty much toured in most of the cities in France, and I spent a lot of time in the south. In fact, I worked in Cannes.
Oh, wow. So you've been all over the place. You know France better than I do.
Yeah, I've been in Cannes twice for 6 months, each time at a club called the Ragtime.
Okay.
So this area is very dear to me. So the recording is kind of a thank you to all the wonderful people of France who befriended me, helped me along my way, and gave me opportunities to perform. And it's also dedicated to the memory of my dear mom, Lois Marie Riney, who hails from Trinidad. She grew up in New York, and we're very, very close, and she was very supportive of my musical endeavors.
Yeah.
She came quite often to France to visit me, and in fact, on one trip, when I was down here in the south of France, she loved it so much, she decided to stay for 1 year. So she actually stayed here for a year, and it was really incredible.
Oh, well, where did she stay?
In the same place where I'm at now.
Okay.
Yeah, and she learned how to speak French, and she, you know, avid swimmer, and she taught Tai Chi and yoga. Yeah, incredible. So, but she passed away on September 11th of 2014. So the record is currently, you know, is also dedicated to her memory, because she was such an integral part of my séjour, my time period in Paris.
In fact, on the cover of the album, there's a photo of a dashing young man accompanied by a woman who presumably is that a photo of the two of you?
That's Yes, Mom. That's taken in front of the Pompidou Center in Paris.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I had a gig there. She was with me, and we hung out, and that's when I had a big afro.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And in fact, I remember that performance quite well, because there was an exhibit at the Pompidou Center, Jackson Pollock, the great avant-garde artist who had an exhibition there at the Pompidou Center. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time. Mom also, you know, she was an art history major. She had a master's degree in art history, so she loved to go to exhibitions and also to the museums, you know, so it was really, really nice.
Yeah, so you described Amour in the liner notes to the album as a humble musical dedication to the wonderful people of Paris and France in general. So, you know, as you mentioned, sort of France has had an important part in your life, the city of Paris as well. There are a few direct references to Paris, in fact, in the song title, such as Parisian Memoir and Banlieue Bleue, which I guess is a reference to your time living in the Parisian suburbs, but also to a jazz festival that's held annually in Seine-Saint-Denis, and that I think you're familiar with, right?
Very, very much so. In fact, I performed in Banlieue Bleue many times. So yeah, it's definitely a play on the festival and my nickname Blue. Blue was my nickname growing up. You know, I used to wear blue jeans to school every day. So
okay.
All of my friends called me Blue, and then TK is the initials for Talib Kibwe. Talib is a North African. Indigenous to North African area. Kibwe is more indigenous to West African area. And Talib means student, and Kibwe means blessed. So I feel like I'm a blessed student, and I'm just happy to be alive and happy to be able to play some music.
Is that a name that you chose?
Well, actually, it was a name given to me on my one of my first trips to Africa in the late 70s. You know, so I'm really, you know, you go to Africa, it's a very magical place. I've been going there since the 70s, and, you know, you meet very spiritual people. You meet griots and jollies and marabous and folks that can look at you, and they can tell you about your family. They can tell you, look at your facial characteristics, and maybe even tell you possibly where your ancestors came from.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those kind of things. And that's another reason also, Luke, I want to mention why I chose to migrate to Paris in 1981 was because I wanted to learn French, because I had been to Africa, but unfortunately I could not communicate too well, because most of the countries I was at were Francophone, you know, Côte d'Ivoire, Senegal. Yeah. And so I wanted to have a way of communicating, and so I decided it would be great to go to Paris. I can learn French, I can play music, and also the scene in Paris was very open, and it still might be. I don't live there now, so I can't really verify, but I'm pretty sure it is, and that was another attraction for me. As a musician, it's great to be able to play different genres and play across different styles. And not get pigeonholed. Quite often in the States, as a musician, you can get pigeonholed if you're playing funk. You know, guys who play jazz won't call you for a gig because they feel you don't do that. Or if you play straight ahead jazz, you might not get called for a Latin gig. Or if you play Latin, you might not get called for a Brazilian gig. So in Paris, I was doing all of it, playing with African groups, Brazilian groups, funk groups, soul, jazz, free jazz, straight ahead.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And that was definitely another attraction.
Do you still find, do you get to come back to Paris regularly, or is it quite difficult?
I won't say regularly, but I've been pretty blessed. The last 5 years or so, I've been going at least once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, you know, because like last year I was performing with Randy Weston. We did some festivals in Montreux, Vienne, and we did the New Morning in Paris. So while I was there, I just took the advantage of staying an extra week or so to, you know, reacquaint myself with old friends. I had a lot of friends, a lot of musicians that I played with are still in Paris, so it's great. In fact, the drummer coming up on the performance you just mentioned at the Sunside on the Saturday, November 25th, I think the first set's at 9:30.
Yeah.
The band is great. Nicholas on bass. Olivier Hutman, a great piano player who actually I had a chance to play with before.
Yeah.
And the drummer, he and I go back to the 70s. In fact, when I first got the gig with Abdullah Ibrahim, I was just out of college, and I recommended John Betch to play drums, and he actually got the gig. So, and then he wound up moving to Paris, I think somewhere maybe in the late 80s or early 90s. He's been there for quite a while.
Well, now, certainly I recall you're both featured in this documentary from 2008 called A Great Day in Paris. I was looking at this the other day. It's sort of a gathering of all the US music, well, the American musicians based in Paris. Yeah. And there's that photo that echoes the emblematic Arcane photo, A Great Day in Harlem. You're both featured in that.
Yeah. Ricky Ford, and he was very instrumental in organizing that. David Murray, John was there. And there's some people that were in that photo who have since passed away. One was a great artist, and one of the songs on my new CD called Requiem for a Loved One is also dedicated to LaBelle, a great vocalist and pianist who I first met. She was one of the first musicians I met when I moved to Paris, and she was quite extraordinary. She could sing gospel, jazz, soul, R&B. She played incredible piano, incredible vocalist. And in fact, during the Great Day in Paris, she was actually living in Switzerland. She had moved to Switzerland, I guess maybe a couple of decades ago. She moved to Switzerland, and unfortunately, she didn't show up for a rehearsal, and then they went to her house, and they found she had passed away, I think, a heart failure at the age of 70. So that song is also dedicated to her memory. Hal Singer, who's in that photo, great saxophonist. In fact, I'm going to call him when I get to Paris. He's 96.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's Cornbread. That was his nickname. He's been in Paris, I think, since the 60s.
So there's a great community of artists there, really.
Oh, yeah. And has been for a while. A lot of folks. Steve McCraven, great drummer. Suleiman Hakim, saxophone. Chris Henderson, drums. So many. Sadiq Rasul, trumpet. Oh, just so many artists. Sangoma Everett. The list is endless, you know.
Yeah. So you mentioned these pieces that you've dedicated to particular artists on your album, and you know, I noticed that there were quite a few homages actually in this album to Paris, to your mother, to artists that have influenced you like Coltrane, Wayne Shorter, but also Melba Liston, the great trombonist and arranger, of course Randy Weston. There's that great composition 204, which is sort of very much a wink to him and his work. And his specific composition, High Fly, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So
that's
yeah,
kind of the reversal. Yeah, it's kind of the reversal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So
and that song is quite obscure because he did a record date in the late 50s with great group. The lineup was Ron Carter on bass, Cecil Payne on baritone, and Roy Haynes on drums.
Yeah.
And that was one of the songs they recorded, but that record never came out.
Oh.
Until maybe a couple of years ago, Mosaic finally put out a 3-CD collection.
What's it called?
Mosaic is a record company based, I think, in Connecticut in the States, and they specialize in putting out reissues, and sometimes they put out stuff of recordings that were never released, and so they put out some reissues of two of Randy's recordings, and then this one they included, which had never come out before.
Okay.
So yeah, so that song was on there, and there's another song on there that I recorded on my last CD, A Warm Embrace, and there's a song called Portrait of Patsy J. That's another Randy Weston composition.
Yeah. So how can you tell us a bit about the history of your collaboration with Randy Weston?
Well, I met Randy actually from working with Abdullah Ibrahim.
Okay.
And that's how we connected, and then I started playing with him in the very beginning in New York, but right after the first one or two engagements I played with him, I moved to Paris.
Yeah.
But coincidentally at that time he was living in Annecy. In the French Alps, exactly. So I sent him a message that I was living in Paris, and the first thing he did, he sent me a message right away saying, man, great to hear that you're on this side of the water.
Okay.
And if you're not busy, you know, I can use you on a gig coming up. And I'll never forget the date. That was the first performance I did with him in Europe, was July 11th, 1982. And we played in San Sebastian, Spain, for the San Sebastian Jazz Festival. We actually opened for the great trumpeter Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah.
And Wynton was actually doing his first tour, because previous to that date, I had just saw Wynton in Paris a couple of months earlier with Art Blakey. And I think he signed with Columbia, had his first recording.
So this would be when he was still part of the Messengers.
Yeah, well, no, I think he had left Art Blakey by that time, and he was starting out a tour as a leader.
Okay.
So if I could be wrong, but this summer tour of 82 might have been his first tour in Europe as a leader. You know, and he had Bradford on tenor. Jeff Tane Watts,
yep.
Kenny Kirkland,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember the bass if it was, I can't remember who was on bass. I don't know if it was Robert Hurst. There's another bass player, and I see his face, but his name is escaping me right now.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a fantastic experience to open for such an incredible artist. I know Wynton quite well, and even the work he's doing now in New York with jazz at Lincoln Center is quite phenomenal, you know.
Well, you know, from as I live in the south of France, I'm quite familiar with the Marciac Jazz Festival, of which he is.
He's there every year. And we actually Baron. played in 2010. We with Randy, we played before we opened for his performance in Marciac as well.
In 2010, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're familiar with the festival too?
Oh yeah. I played in Marciac. In fact, I played there a couple of times. I played there with Randy. I think I played there with might have been with Sam Rivers. I did some stuff with Sam Rivers with the saxophone choir. Also, I played with Chico Hamilton.
Yeah.
A couple of folks, so I can't really remember, but I'm familiar definitely with Marciac. Yeah.
So a big part of your life has also been and your career has been in music education.
Yes.
You received a master's in music education from Columbia in 79. Mm-hmm. But I guess you were also on the receiving end of some great education initiatives. I'm thinking in particular of the Jazz Interactions.
Organization. Jazzmobile.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that organization?
Well, quite honestly, I was very fortunate to have been a student in the 70s because there were many organizations in New York where you could study jazz for free with many master musicians.
Yeah.
So those organizations I just mentioned, you had folks like Jimmy Heath, Frank Foster, Ernie Wilkins, Chris Woods, Reggie Workman,
wow.
Paul West, Billy Mitchell, Lee Morgan, Dr. Billy Taylor.
What a way to learn.
Man. And you only paid $5.
That's
to
crazy.
Register, and it was free, and it was like going to school every Saturday. So you have for example, you start at 10 o'clock. You have your instrument, particular instrument class where you played saxophone. Or when I first started going there, I was actually studying flute with Jimmy Heath.
Yeah,
and then you go from saxophone, you go from your instrument class. You have a sight reading class, and then you have a rhythmic training class. So Jimmy Owens was one of my teachers as well. And then the end of the day, afternoon, is where you go into your ensembles. And I had a chance to play in many different big bands, playing arrangements by Frank Foster, Jimmy Heath, Ernie Wilkins. It was really extraordinary. I was really blessed during that time period, you know.
What about your working education today?
Well, right now, I'm just teaching predominantly privately, but I spent a lot of time on a university level teaching at Suffolk Community College, Montclair State University, and Long Island University. So I actually taught on a university level from 2003 till about 2014. Then I got a little busy touring and putting out recordings and things like that. I was working on another recording. So right now I'm not teaching officially at a university, but I may revisit it. You know, a lot will depend on the time factor.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Unfortunately, TK, I'm going to have to wrap up, but I guess the last question I'd like to ask is, if it's not too premature, so what are the next projects? What's coming up?
Well, I'm working on actually some music now that I'm going to incorporate musicians from different cultures. So kind of like world music is a terminology that's been used a lot. But I have some ideas that I want to, because I played with so many different types of musicians from Morocco, mm-hmm. from Senegal, from Gambia, from Mali. So I think I want to incorporate a lot of that music into what I'm going to do on the next project. And something similar to that would be the track on my latest CD, Amor. There's a track called Abdoulaye Prosper.
Yeah.
And that's dedicated to a great Senegalese drummer, Abdoulaye. And Abdoulaye, his nickname was Prosper. He was the leader of a group called Halam, and I played with them quite often during the 80s when I lived in Paris. And he died prematurely from cancer. So, but on that particular cut, I'm playing the African hand piano, the mbira.
Yeah.
And I also overdub, and I played flute and soprano. So that's kind of the direction I'm going to be going in.
Okay. Fantastic.
Next project.
Well, that sounds really exciting. Really look forward to that. TK,
okay.
Really, thanks so much for taking the time to have this chat today. It's been such a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Once again, that was TK Blue. His latest album is called Amour. It was released this year. It's an absolute delight. I highly recommend it. Do not miss his concert in Paris this week. It's on the 25th at the Sunset Sunside. Many thanks again. I'm Luke Seabright, and that was our jazz interview program.
C'était Jazz Interview avec Luke Seabright. Vous pouvez écouter cette émission les mardis et jeudis à 8h et 14h et retrouver tous nos podcasts sur notre site internet artdistrict-radio.com. Très belle journée, à notre écoute.